This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bringing on Bill Scott now, the sports director for the Wisconsin Radio Network. Bill, how you been, buddy?
Great, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. We're going to have a football season?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a football season, but I'm not totally convinced that there might not be some rough spots during that football season the way we're headed right now. So.
With what the you and I have not spoken since the Packers have made their draft, and since things have we've had Zoom conference calls and different members have talked to the media, players, coaches, and such. Give me your assessment of how this offseason has gone for the Packers.
Well, it's certainly like every other team in the league with COVID and everybody shut down and having to do your do your meetings with players and that kind of thing from a virtual standpoint, it's really tough to gauge how the Packers did or anybody else did. They'll sit there and tell you how well things have gone and how the meetings have gone and everything's great with the players, but every team's going to tell you that. So you really don't know how it's stepped on how everything is going to go until the players step on the practice field and they eventually start playing games. After the draft, I mean, it's kind of an incomplete. You just really don't know because all of these players are losing the opportunity to get on the field, go through stuff, get the offense down pat, and be able to run through it live instead of just trying to put it together in your head. Because I'm not sure how all of these guys are going to do when they step on the field. It's going to be quite a learning curve in a very short period of time. And I think it'll be interesting to see what teams, I think we'll find out a little bit more about off-season virtual programs from team to team based on how well rookie classes contribute and when they contribute. It might not be until well into the, a third way through the season before we start to even see some sort of an impact from some of these rookie players.
Do you think that the consensus seems to be that Rodgers is going to come in with some big chip on his shoulder and things are going to just, materialize? Look, Aaron Rodgers comes in every year ready to play. I don't ever put that past him. Does this year change things a little bit? Maybe to a certain extent, but I don't think that Aaron's coming in angry and wanting to prove stuff. I think he just uses whatever motivation he can possibly find to make him a better quarterback, don't you?
I would agree 100%. I think the I'm sure Aaron Rodgers was disappointed that the Packers didn't go out and get him or the team in general more help. And certainly with that big, deep wide receiver class, it's shocking to all of us that the Packers didn't find a way to take one. But having said that, Rodgers is still going to come in and do what he does. I was listening to a little bit of the show earlier, and you were talking about the Facebook stuff with where LaFleur ranks, should he be a top 10 guy, and all that kind of stuff. I'll say it's probably a little early to be talking about LaFleur top 10, all that kind of stuff. However, I think LaFleur really in his first season had a great handle on the team and had a great handle with Aaron Rodgers. You could tell that there had been a lot of discussion between he and Rodgers going into training camp a year ago. I think Rodgers was a guy that had total respect for what LaFleur was all about and what he wanted to do. And while LaFleur wanted to make sure that Rodgers had input, he also wanted to make sure that Rodgers knew who the boss was and that he wasn't going to let the quarterback walk all over him. I thought, Mike McCarthy at some point late in the game, that the message to Aaron Rodgers, it was started to fall on deaf ears, and that didn't make Mike a bad coach. Mike was a great coach. He is a great coach. But after 12 years in an organization, sometimes with the same quarterback and the same leader there, sometimes it just isn't the same. And I'll go back to one of the things that made the Packers, even though they had a little bit easier schedule last year, one of the things that made them so successful, in my opinion, in fact, probably the number one reason why they went 13-3 is because they didn't have any injuries of any significance. Devontae Adams was down for 3 or 4 games, but that was it. That was maybe the healthiest team in the league last year, and normally they had struggled with injuries. And I don't know if there's a correlation to the fact that you go back into training camp and in the season, and LaFleur cut back on practice times and got his guys off the field and did, in my opinion, a great job of shortening things up, keeping the veterans fresh, the guys that he was going to count on in the trenches each and every Sunday. There was less time on their feet, being much more cognizant of making sure that they were ready to go each and every Sunday. And if that meant cutting down the amount of padded work even during the week, even though it's already trimmed considerably, I think LaFleur had a great handle on that. And I think that's one of the reasons why this football team a year ago really bought into what he was selling.
We're talking with, by the way, Bill Scott, the sports director from the Wisconsin Radio Network. I like going into the second year of this offense, the fact that they did add some versatility, and they, obviously have Aaron Jones to consider, Corey Linsley to consider, David Bakhtiari to consider. I'm not going to say that they're going to be as healthy as they were last year, because it was almost something that we're not even used to seeing as far as health goes.
Right.
But the fact that they have many things that they can do, even though they don't have those wideouts that we would have liked them to have gotten, you believe you have some speed. You believe you have Davante Adams. You believe you're going to have an upgrade, at least guys that are going to progress at the tight end position. But now you've got different backs out of the backfield. This is really looking like the Matt LaFleur offense, where they want to run the ball, but I can anticipate a lot of Shanahan motion, a lot of things in misdirection, and Aaron Rodgers still has his legs, so you may see Aaron moving a little bit more. This may be the more fun-to-watch offense than we've seen in years.
Well, I would agree. I think, I do believe that you will see some improvements from what they have at wide receiver. We'll see what Devin Funchess brings to the table. I think Alan Lazard was a pleasant surprise last year for him, and I think he's going to be better. MVS, they're going to count on him to improve, and a lot of people have him tossed down, down the road already. But they're going to need him. Equanimeous St. Brown, a guy that didn't play last year. They're going to expect these guys to come in and be better. And give that wide receiver position a boost. I mean, that's what they're expecting. That's why they didn't draft anybody. That's why they didn't really go and restock that wide receiver position, because they really believe that the guys they have can take a step up. Now, I don't know that they think that these guys are going to be great wide receivers, but I think they feel that they can make progress in terms of every one of them across the board just being a little better than what they were a year ago. Am I buying into that? I don't know. I'm just telling you what they're thinking, and what they're what they're going to be counting on this year. Aaron Jones had a great year last year. Can he stay healthy? I mean, I think we all know what he's capable of, and that he's been capable of that type of year a year ago, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Can he do that again? I mean, there's obviously so many variables to an improved offense. But Aaron Rodgers statistically didn't have a great year last year. And the offense, I think it was, they were in the lower half, 18th, I think, in yards, and they were right in the middle of the road in points. I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement, and it's going to just have to come from within.
Do you buy into the narrative that it was just gap assignments and guys just weren't ready defensively when it came to the NFC Championship game and defending the run?
No, I don't buy into that. I think, well, there's probably some truth to it, and that might be a part of the problem, but I also think that, I mean, you know what? I love Dean Laurie. The guy is a class act. You know, he's a soundbite
right.
machine. When we go talk, I mean, you know, guys like that, you know, reporters love him because you can always go. They're never going to say no. They'll sit and talk to you, and you know, you can get the story. But I mean, they signed him to a, and this is in when McCarthy was there. But you know, they signed him to a 4-year contract extension, giving him starters money, and I think he's a backup player. You know, Dean Laurie shouldn't be counted on to be a top 2 or top 3 defensive tackle on a team. He should be the fourth guy, you know, the third or fourth instead of the first or second. You know, and I think that's, you know, part of the problem is that, you know, they have not been able to give Kenny Clark help on the inside, the kind of help that they need. And the couple of guys they've drafted have not performed up to and Montrevious Adams has been a disappointment, and in my opinion, they just lack talent in that interior line besides Kenny Clark, and he's one of the best in the league. But after that, they just don't have enough help around him, and I think that's the problem. Maybe guys aren't hitting gaps, but I'm not sure if these guys hit the right gaps, if it's going to mean a ton of difference anyway. And, you know, well, maybe we'll find out. Maybe if there's more gap discipline, maybe they'll be better. Can't get any worse.
Right. The secondary, I think the secondary is as deep as it's been in a long time. But I don't know if they're going to be. I mean, again, Tremont Williams not back. There's some of that knowledge that we thought might come back. There's still the possibility that he could. But looking at this secondary, it's about as good as I can remember in a long time. Now, whether or not they're going to continue to excel or not, we'll have to wait and see. You would assume they would. But I really like the secondary of the Packers. If they can just get beefier up front, which they're not going to be able to do it this year, I agree with you. But I really like Darnell Savage Jr. came on last year. I still think Kevin King can be a tremendous cover guy. Same with Jair Alexander. I like where they're at. Adrian Amos, for being the free agent pickup, I don't want to say he's the weakest link, but he might be the weakest guy back there. And he's a veteran who's been there, done that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, a guy like Shannon Sullivan had a good year last year, and we'll be back. And you know, you know, King is to me the wild card, and he's a guy that's, you know, going to be his contract's going to be up at the end of the year. You know, he probably was as healthy as he's been in his career. That's always been an issue for him. So can he stay healthy again? I think when healthy, that's a pretty solid secondary back there. And Alexander, I love Alexander. I mean, he's not a big guy, but he's got a hell of a lot of fight in him, and he battles, and he's got the attitude that nobody, not a single receiver in the league, doesn't matter who it is going to beat him. You know,
yeah.
And I think he's got the mentality you got to have as a great corner, and I think he's really, really good.
Bill, good stuff as always, buddy. I appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon. Hopefully we're talking about sports on the field or on the court by the time we reconvene, okay?
Absolutely. Love it, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Bill Scott, sports director for the Wisconsin Radio Network. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.